upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Amen. We're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to see a short video that Tom Gaudet and the team there in Chiang Mai, Thailand, have put together. It's an update on what's going on with the Hmong translation work there. But also, I'm showing it today because I want you all to see it, of course. But secondly, the Gaudets spent a large sum of money some months ago, actually around $17,000, to purchase some new camera equipment and so forth. The goal and desire is that they might present some better quality videos and so forth for the churches back home, and even for some evangelistic work there in Thailand. And being their home church, we haven't really done anything specifically to help them with that project. So what I want to do is have you see the video today, and then next Sunday morning we'll receive a special offering for the Gaudets and towards this project. And of course, they've always got many projects going on there in Chiang Mai and Thailand, and translation work for many languages. So you pray for them. They'll be back in the States and back with us in about a month now. And so I'm anxious to see them, he and Crinny both. So please, we'll watch that video now, and then Myra has a song for us.
In the early days of working with the Hmong refugees from Laos, the emphasis was on evangelism. We had a desire to reach these displaced people with the gospel message. Tracts and Gospels of John were printed and distributed. These materials were very helpful in leading people to Christ, but it quickly became evident that these tools were not enough. Many people were coming to Christ, and before very long, a church was born. Other things such as songbooks and Bible study lessons were developed and printed. Eventually, as most of you know from previous videos, all the Hmong were forced back to Laos. As a result, the believers who were part of Hue Nam Khao Baptist Church were scattered into small villages all over the country. What started off as one church in a refugee camp in Thailand with around 500 members now has developed into, by last report, 26 congregations. Most of these are led by men who have very little formal training. One of the greatest needs to sustain this church planting movement is for solid doctrinal teaching materials. Therefore, the focus in Hmong has shifted to translation of an entire Bible Institute curriculum for the training of pastors and leaders. Two of the Hmong men who are Thai citizens have been working on this curriculum in our office for nearly 1 year. It is tedious work, as the Hmong language lacks many words to properly express theological concepts. These brethren are working from the Thai translation that was completed 3 years ago while we were in Bangkok. The pastor of the church, which was in the refugee camp in Thailand, is now living in Laos. He is as close as we would describe an itinerant preacher, traveling around to the different congregations and teaching and encouraging the leaders there. He recently spent nearly a month with us helping the translators with theological terms and encouraging them in the very important work they're doing. I would like to talk to you, my brothers, about the translation of the Baptist doctrine books into the Hmong language. These books are very important to us because in the past, some of our doctrines have not been biblical. Much of our knowledge came only from ourselves, so our spiritual growth was limited. This translation project is vital for us to grow spiritually, learn more truth from the Bible, and strengthen our faith in God. It is a very important and needful job for us, and we're trying hard to finish it to help our Christian brothers. This will be helpful to Christians that live in Laos, Thailand, Vietnam, China, Burma, and especially our Christian Hmong brothers who are seeking the truth from the Bible and faithfully serving and overseeing the spiritual welfare of church members. They are all waiting for these doctrine books to be finished. In the future, when this translation project is finished, many Hmong pastors and believers will have the opportunity to study the doctrines of the Bible using these books. The Lord is providing something that we've never had before, biblical doctrine books in our own language. If God will continue to bless and aid the translation and publishing efforts, it will be very useful for Hmong believers. I'd like to ask you to pray that this translation project will be accomplished according to God's will. May God bless you. Please pray for this translation work in the Hmong language. The project has already far overgrown its original budget, and we're no longer able to fund it as needed. Both of these translators have families, and their families need to be cared for properly. This work is not cheap, but the alternative is to do nothing. There's really nothing we can think of that we would involve ourselves in to better prepare the Hmong churches than what's going on in this office right now, producing doctrinally sound materials for training pastors and leaders. Pray that the translation project would go forward unhindered. Funds are needed, but what's greatly needed most of all right now is intercessors who will stand in the gap. Pray also for the Hmong churches that have been developed and the brethren who are faithfully staying by the stuff there with those churches. Thank you. May the Lord bless you.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath hath brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I would boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Yes, this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. Thank you. Myra? Well, if you would please be turning to two passages of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12 and 1 Peter chapter 1. Saw in the video the Hmong pastor's identity was obscured. That's for his own benefit, that his identity is not, what are you going to say, that his travel and so forth, I should say, would not be hindered as he goes back and forth between Laos and Thailand and ministers to those new churches there in Laos. Well, if you found your place in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 Peter 1, you can stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read just one verse here in Hebrews 12, verse 14, where it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, we begin reading in the 13th verse, where Peter writes and he says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that has been brought unto you, the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Father, we bow before you this once again. Lord, I confess my own frailties, my own weaknesses. Father, confess greatly how much I need you to enter in and take charge of what would be said. Fathers, we open your holy book, your divine word to us. Ask you, Father, that we might hear from you in a very special way, a very powerful way. Pray that the wicked one would have no place to enter in and create any hindrance or obstacle, but your word would have complete freedom to accomplish exactly what you would order for it. Thank you for each one and every one that's here within the walls of this facility today. I'd ask you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, if there be anyone here that is yet without that confidence of a hope in Jesus Christ, a salvation of sin in Him, that this day, this very day, might be the day of their salvation. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful, so thankful for what you have done for us. We ask this, Father. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Well, I'll let you know right up front, the subject that I'm preaching on today is not always received real well. I hope that's not the case here today. If we, though, not only confess, but believe that the Bible is God's Word, and that His Word is indeed our rule for life, then we won't have any problem with what it might be saying to us even today. I confess, beloved, I'll never be one of those big-time popular preachers. That's okay with me, though. The knowledge the knowledge or the understanding that I'm answerable to God to preach the whole counsel of God assures me, gives me the peace that when I preach the Word of God, open this book and expose it to our hearts, that I'm doing what God wants us to do. Simple question. What's Peter's point here in 1 Peter chapter 1? Just what is it that he is trying to impress upon us? Trying to explain what it means to live holy can be difficult, beloved. Even praying and considering this passage as this week and trying to do my best to try to understand, to expose these truths to you, left me understanding that the matter of holiness is sometimes a hard truth to communicate. But as we read here, or as we read in Hebrews chapter 1, that the Hebrew writer tells us that no one will see God without holiness. Tells me. It's a very, very important subject. A subject that cannot be just left alone. Tells me that it's important for us to have a good understanding of what holiness is. J.C. Ryle, the old English preacher, he puts forth some suggestions that make perfect sense to me. And I'm only going to read three of them here. He gives at least 10. So we're only going to deal with three. Number one. Now listen to this. He says, holiness is the habit of being of one mind with God. That's soak in. Holiness is the habit of being of one mind with God. We'll deal with that a little bit later on. Number two, a holy man will endeavor to shun every known sin and to keep every known commandment. We'll look at that a little bit too. And number three, a holy man, now listen to this, a holy man will strive to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Makes pretty good sense to me, doesn't it? Well, first of all, this morning, I want us to look here in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 13 and see that we need to simply be ready. We need to be ready for Christ this morning, beloved. We read here, wherefore, gird up. Means to prepare the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to be mentally. We need to be mentally ready for Christ. Mentally prepared for Him. The believer needs to maintain his mind. Be mindful of what Preacher Ryle said. Holiness is the habit of being of one mind with God. We need to be mentally prepared to serve our God and to live for Him. We need to be mentally prepared in such a way to be ready to do whatever our God would expect and call upon us. We need to know. We need to understand what a true practical holiness is. Understand what a practical holiness is. What I want to know. You know what I want to know is what kind of person would God call holy? We may have perceived ideas in our mind what a holy person is. My question is how would God describe a holy person? What kind of person would God call holy? Earlier we said that holiness is the habit of being of one mind with God. How do we do that? How can I be of one mind with the infinite, omniscient mind of God. We must have His mind. We must come to agree with how God sorts things out, if I can say it that way. How God judges things. We need to love what He loves. We need to hate what He hates. By the way, eat more chicken. I told myself, don't tell jokes today. This is too serious a subject. We need to think the way God thinks. Love what He loves, hate what He hates. We need, beloved, to do that, to have an understanding of the standard of the Word of God. We need to think biblically. How are we going to do that? Well, beloved, we need to saturate, to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. If we're ever going to think God's thoughts, I need to know what He thinks. And His Word certainly reveals that to us. Occasionally, as we were joking a moment ago, we experience a public dust-up when someone makes the mistake of standing up for biblical standards of what's right and wrong. Oh my, a brave soul makes that public statement concerning what the Bible says, and the media and activists, why, they're all over them. Praise God for some along the way that are willing to say, hey, that's what the Bible says. Instead of backing up and retracting statements and trying to excuse themselves, hey, what God says, He says. What God thinks, He thinks. And it's up to you and I who say we love Him and belong to Him to stand up for Him. Well, again, that person will get attacked. And it's interesting that it's usually those that are wanting tolerance for their unbiblical position or lifestyle, but are totally intolerant of those who take God's place or God's stand in those very issues. How are we to think? How are we to think? How are we to have God's thoughts? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you. What mind is that, Apostle Paul? The mind that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. I need the mind of Christ. I need to think the way He thought. Oh my, might we be mentally ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be mentally prepared for Him as we saturate ourselves with the Word of God. But we also see that we need to be patiently ready for Him. Still in verse 13, as we gird up the loins of our mind, we need to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be ready for Him. Be patiently ready for Him. Well, preacher, just how long do I need to remain ready for Him? Just how long do I need to stay true for Him? Is a week long enough? Is a year long enough? How about 20 years? How about 30 years? How about 50 years, preacher? How long do I need to stay faithful to Him? Well, you know I'm asking you a rhetorical question, a facetious question. We need to stay true to Him to the end. We need to stay true to Him, to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stay, we need to learn to live holy, have holy thoughts for Jesus till Jesus comes. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy lean in Jesus' name, huh? We need to stay true to Him. We need Him. Our hope is in Him, beloved. Need be patiently ready for Him all along the way. And we need to be obedient to Him. We need to be obedient to Christ. In verse 14, Peter goes on and he says, how are we supposed to fulfill these things? As obedient children. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. We need to be obedient to Christ. We need to be obedient in childlike faith. Children are beautiful. Children are so true. I mean, they're so trusting and naive. They just believe. They just believe, beloved. And it's a beautiful. Would we have more of that childlike faith? You know, I was going to ask Marcia this morning where this picture went. Used to sit out at the house in Wichita Falls, and as we've moved, it's got put away. But we've got a picture somewhere of our three daughters all sitting at the piano, and they're playing and singing the good songs of Zion together. And besides that picture being a beautiful blessing to our hearts just to have, it also reveals an interesting truth. The picture was taken in such a way that it reveals the profile of all three girls. And as you see those girls from their profile, you can't miss that they're sisters. That they're of the same family. There's some things that just show up in a family. Now, if their lovely mother was sitting there with them, you could tell where they got their good looks from. You can see those common features there. And for good and for the bad, children, now listen, children are a reflection of their parents. Right? Beloved, now listen, we've been born again. We've been born again into the family of God. We've received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. There was a miraculous transformation that took place when we received Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Beloved, when we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we received a new spirit. We received a new spirit. Jesus said in that third chapter of John, that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is spirit. We have that new spirit, beloved, and a new heart. Listen to this word from Ezekiel 36 in verse 26, where the prophet says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. We have, beloved, a new spirit and a new heart. But as well, when we got saved, we not only got that new spirit and a new heart, we got a new family. We got a new family. Jesus Himself instructed us in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1 that as we would pray our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 2, He amazingly, and I've never ceased to be amazed at this statement, He amazingly calls us who know Him, His brethren. We have a heavenly Father, and we have a divine brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:12 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why go into all that, preacher? Because, dear ones, we should resemble our Heavenly Father. We should resemble our Heavenly Father and His Son. We're part of the family. We've been born again into the family of God. The old man, the old things are passed away. He's made us a new creature, a new creation in Himself. And as new creatures and being born into His family, we should be taking on a resemblance of our family, of our Father. There should be that family resemblance. And when folk look at us, hey, when they observe our life and see us, they should take note that, hey, that one must belong to the Heavenly Father. Hey, that's not so hard to understand. I'm sure you've been around somebody, maybe on the job or someone in public somewhere. And if you talk with them, if you have visited with them a little bit, fellowship with them, you come away with the impression that I believe that person's a Christian. And sure enough, as you ask them, do you know the Lord? And they say, well, yes, I do. Hey, it was revealed by that family resemblance to you. In this new relationship, as obedient children to Christ, we'll have an obedient new life. An obedient new life. What's it say here in verse 14 of 1 Peter 1? As obedient children, those part of the family of God, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. What's that talking about? The old life. The old man. Hey, remember? Old things are what? Passed away. They're history. Not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. No. There's obedience to a brand new life. The truth. That truth, beloved. That truth of your relationship to the Heavenly Father. That truth of your relationship to the Son of God will manifest itself in a practical way. Huh? It'll manifest itself in a very natural way, day by day. The things of the old life will no longer be there. Oh, there'll still be a battle going on with them. We'll still have to deal with the impact of that first birth. I'll still have the physical characteristics of my earthly father. Oh, yeah. But the fashion of my heart, the new creation of my spirit should be greatly changed. No longer will the former lusts run the show. Hey, it gets kind of quiet when you preach this kind of message. The fact of the matter is we've been saved and these things become truth, girding up the loins of your mind, hoping to the end of the revelation of Christ as we serve Him as obedient children. We'll begin to look like Him. We'll begin to be holy like Christ is holy. We'll begin to be holy like Christ. Now, beloved, as we say that, what do we know about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ? If I'm going to be like Him, I need to know what He's like. What do we know about His character? Well, beloved, we know that He's sinless. We know that He is sinless. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was without sin. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, it says, "For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Speaks a bit about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, there John writes and he says, "And ye know." Now listen to that. There's some things we ought to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins." But the verse doesn't stop there. It says, "And Him is no sin." We see, first of all, that the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, He was sinless. He was sinless. But also, we know that He was pure. He was pure. In 1 John 3 and verse 3, it says that every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He, that is Jesus, is pure. Huh? Every man that hath this hope, every man that is saved, every man that has the assurance of his salvation in Christ Jesus, purifieth himself, even as He, Jesus, is pure. Now this word pure in the verse means to be innocent. It means to be modest. Now listen to this. It means to be clean. Means to be clean. Now, it's not talking here about physical cleanliness, though physical cleanliness might be a blessing to the rest of us. John's talking about a moral cleanliness, a moral modesty, a moral innocence. Hey, we're living in a day when worldliness is celebrated. We're living in a day when even in the church house, worldliness is celebrated. Well, what here, preacher, what area of my life do I need to be concerned about this holiness thing? Well, what's it say here? In verse 15, it says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy." In what? In all manner of conversation. In all manner of conversation. Now that word conversation is talking about our behavior. It certainly includes my vocal conversation. But it includes all of our life. All manner of our behavior is what Peter's talking about. Now let's see, what would that leave out? Nothing. Doesn't leave a thing out. All manner of our conversation. Holy in every area of our life. Wow. Holiness. Now listen to this. Holiness should show up everywhere in our life. You understand why this isn't a very popular message? What gets right, it gets right way inside the vest, doesn't it? Pokes us where we're not used to being poked. What's he say? We're to be holy, folks, in every area of our life. Every area of our life. Now, I'm going to do something I don't ever do. Seldom, anyway. I'm going to do something that is just not my normal practice. But in order for clarity, I'm going to list some examples, some areas that we need to think about. Holiness should show up in everything, right? Every area of our life. So holiness should show up, first of all, in our thinking. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Old J.C. Ryle talked about us having that mind of God. Well, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us what we should think about. Philippians 4, verse 8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul's telling us where we should focus our thoughts, what we should be thinking about. Makes you sweat, doesn't it? Holiness should start showing up in our thinking. If we don't get our thought life right, it's not going to be right anyplace else in our life. As we start with our thinking, but then it should show up certainly in our language, our conversation, our vocal conversation. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, very simply, Paul says, let no, how much? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. No amens whatsoever on that. It's tough. We're talking about, hey, we're talking about the real deal here, folks. Huh? It's easy to talk about the fluff. We're talking about being like Jesus here. Talking about our thought lives being holy, honorable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about the words that pass over these teeth would be with no corruption. We're not done yet. Holiness, thirdly, should show up in our interests. Holiness should show up in those things that take our interest in life. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says this. You can mark those verses down. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you saved? If you're here this morning, you say, yes, preacher, I'm saved. I know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek, give your attention, your interest to those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. Where are our interests? Where is our focus in life? Is it here or is it there? We need to put our interests in line with God, with holiness. Fourthly, you ready for this? Remember, it's all manner of conversation, every area of our life. Holiness should show up in the way we dress. Well, this is a sure place for the preacher to get himself in trouble. Most preachers are afraid to say anything here, so they don't say anything at all. But you know what? Back there in my office, on my desk, it says Pastor Jim Turner. That means I'm supposed to be a shepherd. A shepherd must give leadership and direction to his sheep. Sheep without a shepherd have no direction. So I have to be obedient. I don't and I won't tell anyone how to dress. Won't do it. Marcia and I have our convictions and preferences, but I'm not here to tell you how to dress. Of course, with the exception of what goes on up on this holy platform. Now, I do have something to say about that. Need to be dressed right up here. We need to be mindful of this matter of holiness every morning when we get dressed. I said, wait. Applies to men the same as women. We need to be mindful of this matter of holiness every morning when we dress. And please understand, I'm not talking about ladies wearing their hair in a bun and covered from head to toe. I'm not talking about that baloney. I'm not insinuating that men ought to wear buttoned up long sleeve white shirts and black pants and Oxford shoes all the time. Not what we're talking about. that's the way you want to dress, God bless you. That's good. That's fine. But we need to just ask ourselves a very simple question. Am I dressing to please myself? Or am I dressing to please Jesus? This is addressed to Christians. It's addressed to Christians. Am I dressing to please the crowd? Or am I dressing to please my God? It's a manner, being holy in all manner of conversation, beloved. Am I dressing to draw attention to myself? Or to give honor to God? Simple questions. Hey, I am smarter than to begin to tell ladies how they ought to dress. I like my bodily arms and so forth in one piece. I'm not here to tell ladies how to dress. I just have one request, ladies, okay? One, maybe it's two, but wrapped into one. Do me a favor. Just watch the neckline and the hemline. Okay, that's not biggie, is it? Watch that neckline and the hemline. Am I dressing to draw attention to myself, or am I dressing to please the Lord Jesus Christ? Enough of that. Fifth and last on this. Holiness should show... Hey, in all manner of conversation, right? Holiness should show up in our entertainment. Holiness should show up in our entertainments. What are you watching on the television these days? What's showing up on the computer? What sort of websites are you allowing yourself to get to? Let me just ask you, I like to ask simple questions. Could you invite the Lord Jesus Christ to watch TV with you? Could He help you with your next Google search? Hey, straighten everything up right now, wouldn't it? I'll make a suggestion to you. I suggest you make a reminder label for your television and your computer. Now, I realize that we got TVs this day the size of drive-in theater screens. I realize that, so make sure you make this big enough that you can see it. Just print one verse of Scripture. Proverbs 100, verse 3. Excuse me, 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Put it right there in front of you. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Take care of the whole deal. Well, preacher, I hear all you're saying, and that's real nice, and I'm sure that you know you feel like you're preaching what we need to hear. But what? Why? Why should we worry about such a thing? Hey, we're living in the 21st century, preacher. I mean, you got to get with it. You got to catch up here. Well, there's a good reason for us to seek to live holy. And Peter explains it to us in verse 16. He says, well, ask the question, why? Why should we be holy in all manner of conversation? Because, beloved, it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Peter's quoting from Leviticus, where God instructed Moses to instruct His people. You tell my people, be ye holy, for I, your God, am a holy God. Doesn't take a whole lot more explanation than that, beloved. The God that laid down His life for me. The God that left glory. Hey, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Holy. And pure, without guile in any way, laid down His life. He died so that Jim Turner could live? Is it so much that he would ask me, that he would ask you if you're saved today, to live holy for him? Live this life that I've given to you, God says, holy. Our holy lives are lived as a memorial to Him. Huh? And when folks see that resemblance of Him in our lives, it's a testimony to them that God, the God of glory, has done something in us. Lord, help us. Let me question this though. Preacher, will my pursuing personal and practical holiness save me? No. No. We can't save ourselves. No. I must have the perfect holiness of Christ to save me. And I receive that by the grace of God through faith in His Son. No, dear ones, practical holiness, day-to-day holiness, is the result of having Christ living in us. Personal, practical holiness is the result of Christ living in me. Personal and a practical holiness is the result, beloved, of Him manifesting Himself through us. So, dear ones, please. And I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want to be the Holy Spirit of God. But as God might be pleased to speak to our hearts and put His finger on some things in our lives that need to change, might we not rebel against Him? Might we not stiffen our necks against Him? But might we instead rejoice, show our appreciation, our gratitude to Him, that He would be pleased to continue to deal with our lives and to work in our lives and to help us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says that He is in that process of conforming us into the image of His Son. I want to be like Jesus, beloved. I want my life to manifest Him. Yes, all along the way. Hey, I've been saved 38 years. I got a lot of work ahead of me. Long way to go before I'm like Jesus. But I pray that every day, before I lay down my head, I'm a bit more like Him. Surrender a bit more of my life to Him, and that He might be dealing and working in my life along the way. Hey, I just want to be more like Jesus. Huh? What a blessing it is when someone might say to you, hey, are you a Christian? And you'd ask, well, why did you ask me that? And they proceed to tell you it's because of something about you. The way you talk. The way you carry yourself. The countenance on your face. That tells them you must know Jesus. Oh my, what a blessing. What a blessing it is. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, this morning we've tried as best we can to point ourselves toward Jesus. Father, I pray that a bit of the glory of Your Son might shine upon us. And the Lord, along the way, as we allow Him to deal with us and work in our hearts and in our lives. Father, that as we would even purify ourselves as He is pure. That we would along the way, little by little, some days more, some days maybe less, but along the way be more and more like You. Lord, it's our prayer. It's our desire this morning to be holy. Father, I confess, this flesh is weak, Lord. Battle this old flesh. It wants to go its own way. Do its own thing. Father, I plead with You. Help us, strengthen us in Christ. Grant us of Your Spirit that we might indeed be those folk of strength and fortitude in Christ. That we take our stand with Him, not for our glory, not for our honor, not for our praise, but that Jesus might get praised. Jesus would be glorified in all manner of our conversation. Lord, I ask, I don't know hearts here today. It may be there's someone, maybe several, in our midst that are without Christ. Father, I just pray that they'd see Jesus and all of His goodness, His great love, His great mercy, His wonderful grace. And they desire, Father, that love and forgiveness, that cleansing that You promised to those, everyone, that would call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Yourself today. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for that mercy. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory we pray. Amen and amen. Brother Colton.
155.
As we sing, beloved, just obey the Lord. These altars are open as always. You need to make use of them for yourself or a burden on for a loved one. Maybe you'd say, preacher, I realize today I'm not saved. I don't have that hope and assurance you're talking about. Dear one, please don't go from this place without that peace. Please don't leave this church house without knowing that you're right with God. Please come. Just take this preacher by the hand and say, preacher, I just want to know I'm saved. I want to know I'm right with God. And we'll pray for you. We'll do our best. Point you to Jesus. Point you to Jesus. Let's sing.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, try me, Master, today. Wiser than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in Thy presence Thine own way, Lord. Have
have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. As in thy presence, Savior divine, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ on the
I think I understand why a lot of preachers probably don't want to deal with the subject of holiness. Because you don't feel worthy to be able to deal with such a subject. Because we know our own hearts, don't we? We know ourselves before the Lord. If we don't deceive ourselves, and we realize that there's nothing good about us. There's nothing that we could even begin to claim is as holy as our God is holy. And so as Peter penned those words, I'm sure in his own heart, he's remembering that day at the sea where he said, "Depart from me, I'm a wicked man." He knew his own heart. He knew that it was only by the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God that he'd be pleased to even impart to us of his own holiness. But along the way, we that have been bought and paid for by that sinless and holy blood should desire and long to be holy for Him and for His glory. Might it be our prayer, beloved, humbly, meekly our prayer, God help me. God help us to manifest Jesus. Lord bless you. You can be seated. And Brother Curtis, you come. He's got some announcements for us.
Gentlemen, if y'all come forward, receive this morning's offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. Lord, thank you for the preacher will get up and challenge us to be holy. Lord, not that we can be holy enough to make our way to heaven on our own merits, but do our best to be like you, Lord. Thank you for a man who's willing to do that. Lord, right now we're asking if you bless this offering we're about to receive, be the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a few short announcements. Tonight after the service, we will be having a wedding shower for the Brandon and Miss Jessie. Bring bars of soap to throw at him. Notice I said him. Ladies' brunch will be tomorrow at the Cracker Barrel on 35, 10 o'clock. It says ladies' brunch again, although in the body of the announcement it says the men can sit at a separate table, so take that for what you will. Church library work day will be Thursday and Friday. Still need to close that thing up. There'll be little stuff here and little stuff there that needs to be done. From just all basically small stuff. See Miss Renee about that. Basic computer skills is going to be August 20th and 24th. If there's anybody who has not signed up for that as a credit would like to take that, just auditing, there's a sign-up on the back table. And I do believe that's all we need to talk about that for now. So.
Well, amen. It has been a good day. Let's stand. And it's in your hymnal, page 341, or the back of your bulletin. Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. You may be dismissed. Thank you.